I've got more thoughts on the NFL weekend, but right now I do want to talk some more college ball. Another wild weekend in the college ranks. We are joined right now by somebody who covers college football, and on top of that, all barbecue-related issues for The Athletic. In other words, he is a two-sport star. He is host of the Andy Staples Show. He is a friend of the program. He is, in fact, Andy Staples. Andy, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. Can I still fax the show like we did in college? Is that the best?
Yeah, man, that'd be great if you were to fax the show. Can you imagine me hovering over a fax machine like, hurry up, man, hurry up, hurry up.
You're like National Signing Day.
Dude, that was the best. That was the best. Did you ever fax this show back in the day?
I never faxed the show, though. I worked with a guy at the college paper who had many, many Molten takes, was a devoted daily listener, and I am sure he squeezed off a fax or two from the independent Florida Alligators fax machine.
You know he did, especially if he had Molten takes. I love that. So whatever happened to that guy? What's he do now?
He runs a paint store.
Okay, good. Excellent. Andy Staples joining us. I like that. There was actually a fax machine back in the day. It's a great pull. All right, Andy, so Northwestern lost. Ohio State's game was canceled. Let me start right there. How tough a weekend was that for the Big Ten and their hopes for a team in the college football playoff?
It was really tough. And look, we don't know what the committee will do. Ohio State could not play another game. And if the committee decides they're one of the four best teams, they'll put them in. But I have a hard time seeing it happen if Ohio State doesn't get a chance to play for the Big Ten title, doesn't really get a chance to play again. You know, the way it works is you've got to play six games to qualify for the Big Ten title game. They're at four. They play Michigan State this weekend. They canceled their Illinois game. And I think it was with the hope that they could save the Michigan State game and the Michigan game. Well, now Michigan has paused. So even if you play Michigan State, you may not be able to play Michigan next week. So that's, you may not get to six. And if you don't, I mean, I don't know. If you're 5-0, is that good enough? Have you shown enough? It's hard to say because the best team they played was Indiana. They beat them. It wasn't a particularly impressive victory. It's definitely the most mortal Ohio State has looked. But then, do you think they'd beat Texas A&M? Do you think they'd beat, let's say Notre Dame loses to Clemson in the ACC title game? Do you think they'd beat Alabama if they lose to Florida in the SEC title game? And that's the question they'll ask.
How do you think they answer that? For instance, I mean, what if they don't play Michigan State this weekend? Or what if they do and they don't get to six games? I mean, could you see the committee putting them in over, say, an undefeated Cincinnati or a one-loss A&M team?
I could see them doing it over the undefeated Cincinnati. The one-loss A&M is another story because, you know, look at A&M's last four games. They just beat LSU. They're going to play Auburn this week. They've got Tennessee, and they've also got Ole Miss. LSU, Auburn, and Ole Miss probably are as good as any non-Indiana team on Ohio State's schedule. So you beat those teams, and, oh, by the way, you also beat Florida and won everything else except for the game against the team that everybody thinks is number one. It's going to be really hard to not pick that team over the team that only played four or five games.
Right. Andy Staples joining us right now. Now, what about Michigan, right? Michigan beats Minnesota. Andy, to open up their season, there's this talk that we found our quarterback, Joe Milton. Then they lose three straight. Then they beat Rutgers in triple OT. Then there was talk that they had found their quarterback in Cade McNamara. Then they lose to 0-5 Penn State at home. I mean, what exactly has happened in Ann Arbor? Where did it go all wrong?
I don't know if it necessarily has gone all wrong because a lot of this is this year and very weird circumstances. And Penn State's bad too because I wouldn't say things have gone wrong at Penn State, and they're bad this year too. But I don't think Jim Harbaugh is the guy long term. I think it's run its course. You tried it, and he's coached at the end of the season 6 of his 7 years of his contract. You're no closer to beating Ohio State than you were when you started. In fact, you're quite a bit farther away, and it doesn't feel like there's any sort of forward momentum at all in the program. And they have to figure out, because he has 1 year left on his contract after this, do you want to extend him and keep doing this, or do you want to try something else? And I think they're probably going to have to try something else.
All right, so for instance, the Detroit Lions, if they were to hire Jim Harbaugh, you know, big if, but if they were to hire him, that would solve a lot of problems for the Michigan Wolverines. Would that solve a lot of problems, though, for the Lions?
Well, here's my thing with Harbaugh. If you look at when he was at his best, and that's at Stanford and that's with the 49ers. Greg Roman was his offensive coordinator. And Greg Roman, currently John's offensive coordinator at Baltimore, built an offense around Lamar Jackson. Question is, could Jim pry Roman away from John? Because if that happens, if you get Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman with the Lions, you know what? He may have a shot. But it feels like Roman was his secret sauce.
Can you imagine poaching your brother for a staffer who is that important? That'd be like the best thing ever, the most Harbaugh thing ever.
Isn't that every Harbaugh family story you ever heard, like the Thanksgiving Day football where they're trying to kill each other?
Right.
Of course they would do that.
That'd be the best thing ever. I really do hope that happens. We're talking to Annie Staples. Annie, so what about Texas as an example? I'm just jumping around here. But Texas started the year 2-0. Then they dropped two straight. Then they come back to win three straight, including a win over number 6, Oklahoma State. Then they blow a 10-point lead in the second half against Iowa State. Now, the Cyclones are a good team. They've got a really good coach in Matt Campbell. But how bad of a loss was that for Texas and Tom Herman? Not just that they lost, but how they lost.
Oh, it was a terrible loss. And the clock management down the stretch was not great. He's getting killed for a couple decisions that I didn't think were that bad, like the going for it on fourth down with Sam Ellinger, who is a quarterback with thighs the size of a defensive tackle. Yeah, I'll take him on fourth and inches. But the throwing a couple times when you got a milk clock and you can't give them the ball back. I mean, some of the things they did just didn't make any sense. And my thing is, when you have a game where there's a spot in the Big 12 title on the line, and it's Texas versus Iowa State, I don't care how good the coaching matchup is. Texas should never lose that game, ever. Texas should always be able to out-athlete Iowa State in that situation, because clearly both teams are going to be up for the game. Motivation's not an issue in a game like that. So how do you not, with the more talented team, win that game? How do you not have a more comfortable lead going in? I mean, they were throwing the ball up to Brennan Eagles, who is the kind of athlete that Iowa State can't get. They were throwing the ball up to him the first half. It was unstoppable. They didn't do it that often. They could have kept doing that. I mean, just stuff that doesn't make any sense. And I think that's why the question now is whether Tom Herman's going to be back at Texas.
All right, so what about that? Like, I like Tom Herman, I always have, but I think the point you make is a fair point. Regardless of where Iowa State's ranked, regardless of who their head coach is, if you're Texas, you have to win that game in that situation. So if Herman's got a really hot seat right now, and Harbaugh's got a hot seat right now, if you're Texas or you're Michigan and you're looking for a new head coach, who do you make the first call to?
Well, I think if you're Texas, the fan base is pushing you to call Urban Meyer. And I don't know if you're going to do that or not. And I also don't know if Urban Meyer wants to get back into coaching. He's very good on TV. The last year at Ohio State, he had the health issues that I'm not sure he wants to repeat, because they happened at Florida. They happened at Ohio State. The Texas job is the same kind of job. So chances are that comes back too. And I'm not sure that's something you want to deal with again. So, you're looking at Matt Campbell, the guy who just beat you, and Michigan, you're going to be looking at him too. You're looking at Mario Cristobal at Oregon. And that's one that I think Michigan should look at, too. The one for Texas I think could be interesting is James Franklin. At Penn State, if you get him last year, he barely has a buyout. But even this year, his buyout is cheaper than Mario Cristobal's. Franklin's is between $4 and $5 million. Cristobal's is $8 million right now. So I think that's one to think about, because Franklin may need to change the scenery, but he can build a roster that can compete. You saw him build a Penn State roster to compete with Ohio State. And guess what? If you can build a roster to compete with Ohio State, you can sure as hell build a roster to compete with Oklahoma.
Andy Staples is joining us. Andy also made the point in a piece for The Athletic that Scott Frost was 8-13 when Nebraska announced an extension for him last year. So how does that extension look right now?
Not terrible. I mean, I'm not a fan of the emotional extension or the PR extension. And in the case of Frost, it was, hey, recruits, we're behind this guy. He's our guy. Okay, you didn't have to put the school on the hook for $5 million more bucks to do that. There was no need for that. We know you're not going to fire Scott Frost right now. We know he's trying to get a turnaround. But I just think it's silly, and it comes back to bite schools in the butt. That's what happened with Texas. So Tom Herman is a $15 million buyout right now. He would have been a $5 million buyout if they hadn't extended him after Texas won the Sugar Bowl.
All right, so exactly where does that leave Nebraska? For instance, how would you describe Nebraska football in 2020? When I say that, Andy, I don't mean just the current season. I mean the overall trajectory of that program. Where does that leave them? How do you see them now and going forward?
Well, the thing is, it doesn't feel like there's any upward trajectory. And that's the problem, is the rest of the Big Ten West got better when Frost got to Nebraska. That was just coincidence. But unfortunately, it's kept Nebraska from showing much improvement as well. And you kind of got to figure out where Nebraska's ceiling should be, because I think even the most hardcore Nebraska fan realizes the days of winning multiple national titles, you know, in a row are over. But what should you be if you're Nebraska? And my thinking is you should be Wisconsin. You should be in contention for the Big Ten West title every year. You should win it some years. And every so often, you should have a team that can compete with the champion of the East. And they're just not there. I mean, Wisconsin, Northwestern, those are more consistent programs in that division than they are. And they got a long way to go to get there.
There's no doubt. Andy Staples joining me for a few more moments. Andy, what about Alabama? They thrashed Auburn 42-13 while Nick Saban was at home. I mean, what does that win say about Alabama?
Now, who needs Nick Saban?
Right.
The program just runs itself.
Right.
I mean, come on. No,
clearly.
It just tells you the machine that Nick Saban has built there. And I think that was a good day for Steve Sarkisian because, you know, he was the acting head coach. He was still calling plays as the OC. And this is a guy who he got fired at USC, issues related to alcoholism, and it was a rough go. And he's been trying to prove, hey, look, I'm healthy, I've changed my life, things are better now. And guess what? You add this with him being OC of the Falcons before he got to Alabama. He's not only going to be a contender for head coaching jobs in college. I think he might be a contender for head coaching jobs in the NFL after this.
That'd be fascinating, wouldn't it? I think he absolutely has put himself, his career, and his life back together. And if he were to get an NFL job, that would really be something. Let me ask you this. You and I always enjoy talking food. And, of course, Thanksgiving is a huge, huge food day. What did you get into this weekend? How did Thanksgiving treat you? How did you approach it?
Oh, it was wonderful. I've been doing this intermittent fasting, so I don't eat until about noon every day. So I was ready to go by Thanksgiving dinner. And I added dirty rice to the sides, which highly underrated side. Everybody in Louisiana does it. Nobody else does. Everybody needs to be doing it. Mac and cheese. Brother-in-law smoked some London broil and did this artichoke dip thing. It was unbelievable. So it was quite a day. And I also did this, which I hadn't done, and I highly recommend this to everyone. You know, I always would go to the turkey and just grab a few pieces of breast, grab a leg and dip it in some gravy and eat that thing. That's the way to do your turkey on Thanksgiving.
Well, I didn't even know that was an issue. That's a no-brainer to me. That's the first move. That's the first play. Listen, quickly, I'm really glad you brought this notion of intermittent fasting. Why do you do it? Is it a matter of, well, if I don't eat until noon and I only eat in this window, I'm going to consume fewer calories? Is it about metabolism? I've done it myself, but I don't usually last on it very long. What do you like about it? Why do you do it?
So I've been doing it since late January, and I've lost about 40 pounds, and I'm in better shape than I've ever been in my entire life, and I think it's just the math. I think I just eat less. I think I eat fewer calories. I wish I could say there's some science to it, but I don't think so. I think I just don't eat as often, so I don't eat as many calories, and pants fit better, so I can't complain.
Right, so do you stop like at 8 o'clock at night?
Yeah, I go 8 hours, so I'll go noon to 8. Some days I'll go 11 to 7, and then you know, if I cheated a little bit, I might try to make up for it and go 17 or 18 hours on the fast the next day. And it all seems to regulate itself. And just, you know, if you catch me around 10 a.m. Eastern time, I might be a little surly. But other than that, I'm good.
No, I get that. I get that. Do you eat sensibly between 12 and 8? Or if you limit yourself to that window, can you eat whatever the hell you want?
I could for a little while. For about the first 20 pounds I lost, I ate whatever I wanted. But then I had to get a little more sensible. So unless if it's not Thanksgiving Day or anything like that, I'm probably going to try to eat two fairly normal meals, lunch and dinner, and that's about it.
And then finally, 7 days a week, you do it also on the weekends?
I get like one cheat day a month. So I've had breakfast 4 times since January.
Wow, dude. So what do you do on that cheat day?
Biscuits and gravy, no question.
I got you. Andy Staples joining us, breaking it down, all things food-related and college football. He is host of the Andy Staples Show. He covers college football and, as I mentioned, all food items as well for The Athletic. Great job, Andy. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Great job.